have the capability to make the world's first bionic man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster.
Yes, and you're tuned into Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, podcasting all over the place, including GetToPointRadio.com and ComicBookDaily.com. Thanks, Chris.
Hey, there you go.
And I am Walter Dorelia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your $6 million...
$6 men.
Duo.
Yes. Dynamic duo.
Dynamic duo.
You know what? I realized that that intro was probably the longest intro we've ever had, but we had to play a lot of it because it's such a cool intro to such a great old theme song.
Oh, Chris,
right?
$6 Million Man, I grew up with that stuff. That was the best.
Is that you guys appreciating the music that I picked out for you guys today?
Oh, we'd also like to introduce Shecky Feldstein over
that
there.
That is?
Musician selection extraordinaire, I might add, yeah.
You know what? You did good today. You did good.
I like that.
Good. Yeah, that's a great series. Lee Majors, of course.
Yes.
Am I wrong? Was he married to Farrah Fawcett?
I don't know.
For a while, I believe he was.
I will find out.
I believe he was.
Wasn't he also like a staple on? Was he the guy that was a staple on? No, I was going to say the Carol Burnett show.
Oh, I don't know.
There was one of those good-looking type guys.
Yeah,
was
one of those handsome guys with the hair.
Yeah, right? with the hair, and the chest and everything.
Yeah, I'm not sure. They Google that, too.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I got a lot of Googling to do.
Hey, listen, $6 Million Man, a great, great a TV series.
Yes.
And, of course, I'm going to give a quick trivia to you guys. What publisher published $6 Million Man comics?
IDW.
That's okay, Shecky. Hey, we're really glad you're here with us.
I had to get an answer in first before him. I thought it was like playing the feud.
I'm going
to
say Charlton.
Charlton. Oh, yep. My professor of comic history, Mr. Owen, got it right. Charlton Comics, of course, published $6 Million Man and Bionic Woman.
That's right. Yeah.
I don't have answers. I just play the music around
right
here.
Yeah.
We know.
What do you want from me? Leave me alone.
Listen, you know, we are here to talk about comic books and comic culture and all things great about comic and pop culture type stuff. So we really should get to it. Shecky, do we have a sponsor?
Absolutely. As we go into new this week, brought to you by the $6 Million Man of Modern Day, where $6 million might get you 3 nights in a hospital bed if you're lucky and insurance covers half.
Yeah, it's a very good point.
Yeah. You know what? $6 Million Man ain't buying you what it used to be.
No.
I mean, you're talking about a second-line center right now, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For which team right
now,
Walt?
I don't know, man. You're talking about a guy on the bench.
If it's one for the Leafs, he's overpaid because they're not in the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about a guy on the bench on the NBA. You're not talking much $6 million anymore.
It's very
true. They got to change
that. You know what? That's like a top salary earner for like the CFL.
There's might be more than
a team.
Yeah, I was going to say the team earnings. Yeah.
Well, anyway, so Mr. Owen, you have some stuff for us.
Yeah. Okay, so this is a big week for comics.
It is?
Yes, absolutely huge. Because we really have to talk about Amazing Spider-Man, number one.
We better, because my shop ordered like 8 million of them. So
we need to plug it a bit.
Yeah, the more favorable review you give it.
They're selling out very quickly. So hurry to that store that you own.
Yeah.
That I can't talk about on the radio.
No. Wait, listen, every local comic shop, I'm sure, loaded up on Amazing Spider-Man because they're all excited about it. And so people should run out to their local comic book shop,
absolutely,
especially mine.
Absolutely.
And check that book out. How is the book anyway?
It's awesome. So first of all, at first it's a little daunting because it's a big, thick book.
Nice.
It's $6 U.S.,
peanuts for what you get.
It's a big book. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 stories in this book. A lot of books.
That's less than a buck a story.
It really is.
Where do you get that?
Nowhere. In all reality, what's $5 even going to get you?
Exactly. And you know what? You can't go to the dollar store and pick six things up for $5.
No, you really can't.
You can't.
No.
Well, if you put one in your pocket and don't pay for it.
We do not condone those kinds of things here on Comet Culture.
Thought I was just thinking outside the box, Chris. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying we don't want to make it look like we
The book look like?
It looks awesome. Well, it's hard to say what it looks like. It looks awesome. Mm-hmm. Great storytelling. I mean, in the first big story is, of course, Lucky to Be Alive, and it's about the reemergence of Peter Parker as Spider-Man. For those of you who aren't aware, for a little while, Dr. Octopus was inhabiting the body of Spider-Man, so now we've got Peter Parker is back. And this is by Dan Slott and Umberto Ramos. And then basically there's a whole bunch of stories on afterwards. It's like there's a homecoming sort of story that's by Peter
and
David.
Where would you slot Mr. Slott in terms of Spider-Man writers?
He's pretty up there.
Yeah,
he's pretty
so
up
would
there.
I. Yeah.
He's very ingenious in his storytelling ability.
Yes.
I like his storytelling.
And what I love about Dan Slott is his love of Spider-Man.
Yes. Yes, right? Absolutely. Yeah.
And his willingness to stick it out, his willingness to hang around for a few years and really add to the Spider-Man canon.
And you know what? Here's a guy that got death threats when he killed off Spider-Man. So he's a guy that he's willing to go to town for his character to make, make the character interesting, make the story interesting. It's awesome. And you know what? I really like the fact that there is a return also of another famous artist, writer type guy. Joe Majura there's a little backstory here called Genesis. It's basically about the Inhumans. But it's
about the Bible.
Genesis normally is. It's also a band of one of my favorite bands.
Yeah. Gabriel days, of course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But anyways, it's interesting that you get a little bit of backstory there for the new Inhumans book by Joe Majura. So lots of great stuff in this book. And you know what? There's even a little section here that talks about what's going to be upcoming in the near future. He's going to run into Electro and all these different guys.
You know what I'm worried about, Chris, tomorrow? I'm worried about the North American economy.
Shutting down because of this
book?
Well,
what people are going to do, usually they run at lunch, pick up their local comic book shop new Spidey issue on a Wednesday. They go at lunch and they read it and they enjoy it and they have a productive afternoon.
Yeah.
This thing is so thick.
Yeah. Yeah,
that it's going to take them all afternoon to read it.
There will be no work getting done at all tomorrow.
No. So
good thing that school is over for university and college students, because say goodbye to your exams.
Exactly.
They'd probably forget about it.
Yeah. So that's exciting. So Amazing Spider-Man, number one, the long-awaited first issue of Amazing Spider-Man.
And I just have to add my notes in there. It's just a small note.
Just can I add, it's available at your local comic book shop?
Add your note.
If you want to.
All right.
Add your note.
Okay. My note is, I actually really appreciate the idea behind it of adding several stories into the one book. Because as far as I can tell, with the death threats and everything getting issued, fans have been waiting for this issue to come about since the first time Doc Ock took over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they said, what the heck? Give me back my Spidey.
Exactly.
Right. So when you have that much build up and anticipation, and then all you get is one issue, and it's back. And then you just want more. You want it to go back, and you want 18 issues all at once. You're so excited he's back. And so now you get a few out of the first one. It's not just kind of falling flat on having the announcement, but then nothing else. And you have to wait once a month.
You get
or
one
whatever.
Book, and then it's kind of a letdown, right? This is like seven books in one kind of thing.
Yeah. Maybe 13. Yeah. I don't know.
Like letdowns. I know you know all about letdowns, Owen. But
you keep on saying no to me all the time.
Yeah, that's exciting though. Spider-Man, check that out at your local comic book shop.
See, and that's why I wanted to cut you off, because I knew you'd just say it again at the end anyway.
Sorry.
All right, listen. I want to very quickly talk about the other. You know what? This is sort of a. Speaking of letdowns. So, Forever Evil is the big storyline that was going on in DC.
Uh-huh.
Nobody really cares. I mean, it's not making great guns like it did when it first came out with the Forever Evil, and they had all the Villains Month and everything. This issue here is Batman versus Bane,
Spain? Yes. He took out a whole country.
That's
amazing.
No, Batman versus
soccer. He couldn't speak the language, so he thought, what the heck? Let's just get rid of it.
Yeah. Just go.
Yeah.
No, if you guys would listen to me properly, this is Batman versus Bane.
Versus Bane.
And remember, Batman and Bane have a history together, right?
They do.
You know, Bane.
Were they ever lovers?
No. Right. Not like you two.
In a dangerous time?
Batman, you know, Bane broke Batman's back, and so you'd think that this would sort of be a big issue. I realize that they've fought each other before, but you know what? It would have been nice to have especially this is the end of the villains thing, end of the whole storyline.
Yeah.
Why not have a big Batman versus Bane issue and make it a big whole hullabaloo?
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of like a wah-wah-wah, nobody really cares, this is a one-shot.
The sad part about it is Batman is DC's go-to guy, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know, though, Chris. I mean, people might take to it, you know?
We'll
leave it up to the comic-buying public.
That's true.
Go into their local comic book shop today.
All right.
And check out Batman versus Bane number one and weigh in.
All right. That's a good idea.
All right.
All right, listen, let's have a quick musical interlude. Do you have some music ready for us there, Shaggy?
Absolutely. You know, I'm very proud of this little ditty as well.
You seem to be proud a lot these days.
Well, you know what? The last one was the first, I think, for comic culture, and it's been so long.
Are you trying to tell us something?
This one is a definite first as well.
All right.
I'm going to guarantee it. If you guys can guess it, kudos to you.
All right.
And
let's hear it. Let's hear it. Come on now.
You know what? You know what's coming to mind? I don't know why. Two words. Ski resort, Jenna Jameson.
Oh, yeah. With that intense music.
That's not two words, but, you know.
Yeah, I'm remembering that. Is that right? Is it like a soundtrack to a fine film?
A fine
film. It is a fine film.
A fine gal in a fine film?
Yeah.
You know, no, that's not what it's to.
This reminded me of, I'm going to say, Conan the Destroyer.
See, and it sounds so much like it would be a Conan or like a Krull. Something. Oh, so rugged and barbarian.
Yeah.
No, not at all. Completely opposite direction.
Mm.
I think I want to just tease you for a little while.
Please don't.
Please don't.
Please don't. That is the original main theme from 1954's first film ever of Godzilla.
Nice. Very nice.
As you all know, the new reboot is coming out very shortly. So I thought it was very appropriate.
There's a trailer online for that. Looks pretty good.
There's, yeah, there's like two or three, really, and they all look pretty good.
I know.
Yeah.
Listen.
All right.
We got lots to talk about.
What are we doing?
We got to talk about comics and
see. I'm now afraid to just step in and do something because every time I do it, Marty looks at me. Shecky looks at me.
Yeah, I know.
What are you doing?
Yeah, I know.
That's not the flow.
Well,
you know, go with the flow.
Yeah, when it comes to Shecky, you never really know what he's thinking.
Yeah,
right?
But you seem to be in charge right now.
Yeah, so, you never know what I'm thinking when we spend half an hour before each show writing out maps of what we're going to do in what order. And
is that what those things are?
Is that what that is? I couldn't tell.
Yeah, because you've just been putting your soda pops on it instead.
You think it's a coaster.
Yeah.
Cheers, boys. Well, all right, what are we talking
about
next?
First and foremost, we have to talk about Star Wars. And Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, and Mark Hamill reuniting for the latest Star Wars film, Episode 7.
I read that today. I guess the cast has been announced.
This is
exciting.
So we've got Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill, and Harrison Ford,
of course.
The big three from the first movie. Alongside of those actors, we have Anthony Daniels, who was C-3PO.
Yep.
Peter Mayhew was Chewbacca, and Kenny Baker, who was R2-D2. Now, if Beaker from the Muppets was me, now that would be a great movie.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, Chewbacca, is he going to be like
Only if you can do your Chewbacca
imitation. No. But I'm saying, isn't he like, because it's a physical role.
Yeah,
and that guy must
not
be getting
really
up there.
Yeah, it's right. Really, he just walks
around.
Well,
you know what? They should have had somebody else for Chewbacca.
No.
Yeah, like, I don't, would have been a great Chewbacca?
Uh-oh.
Christopher Walken. I'm going to do my Walken Chewbacca right
Oh,
here,
boy.
Right
All right.
That was great. Yeah. That was great.
I think there's a beached whale somewhere. What's going on?
They needed a guy that could run more. You know what? Maybe they'll have, like, you know how they have. Because he's older. Like, I've seen him at cons. He's not nimble anymore.
No.
So it's like, okay. In this scene, British accent, yeah. You know, in this scene, we're going to have Chewbacca running down the hallway.
That's not a British accent.
Okay, that's the best I can do, all right?
That was a terrible accent.
I say.
And I'm pretty sure J.J. Abrams isn't British. Yeah, but, you know,
okay.
Whatever.
And then it's like, as soon as, what's the guy's name? Jeff Daniels?
Jeff Daniels, yeah. Jeff Daniels.
What's his name?
Peter Mayhew,
yeah. All right. As soon as Peter Mayhew starts running, cut! All right, Flintstone, you're in. And they get to stand in. They get to stand in to run down the hallway.
Hey,
right?
What does it cost? You know what a real Chewbacca costs these days?
You know what a real Chewbacca costs these days? Awesome.
So
where were we? Sorry.
Peter Mayhew, Anthony Daniels, and Kenny Baker will return as Chewbacca, C-3PO, and R2-D2, respectively.
Which are like big supporting roles in the film.
Yeah, absolutely. Other actors confirmed. So you may not know these names, Walt. Andy Serkis.
That's the only name I knew. That is the only name I knew on this list.
I love going to the Andy Serkis.
Yeah, the Andy Serkis. I come here once a week to the circus.
Listen, Andy Serkis is the guy that does the motion capturing. Like, he made the character Gollum famous.
Yeah. And he did the voice, actor, too. He did the voice, too.
He was the actor for Gollum in Lord of the Rings.
He's a great motion capture actor.
Ah, Princess! What is it called?
What?
Precious?
Precious.
Precious.
Princess.
Princess. Precious Princess.
Oh,
that guy is annoying.
You know what?
That guy is the...
Okay, but...
Your impersonations are annoying.
Guy is the Jimmy Bings of...
Did you realize that Andy Serkis doesn't actually look like Gollum?
Doesn't?
The Gollum is just like an animated version of what he's trying to do.
Okay, I thought it was like a computer
recreation. No, you'd be wrong.
All right.
Listen. No, hold on a second. I just have to think about this. So what if there really was a guy that looked like Gollum? Instead of filming him, they hooked him up to animated
things. Hold on. So the casting director's at the Y. It's working out. And the guy beside him going, hey, buddy. What are you doing this weekend?
Precious.
You're perfect. Do one more set of lats for me, will you, pal?
Oh, goodness. Oh. All right, listen. Andy Serkis is going to be in it.
Precious.
The other big name is really, besides, there's a bunch of other names. We'll get into that in a second. Mm. But Max von Sydow, or Max von Sydow. I think it's Sydow. Like a veteran actor who's been around. The guy's like 85, 90 years old.
You know what? I'm going to say Max von Sydow is easily one of my most favorite respected actors
of all
time.
He's awesome.
That you don't know who he is.
I absolutely know who he is a million times. And he played some of the best. I mean, remember Conan, the second Conan?
Yes.
Where he played the king. Of the daughter.
Yes.
And the daughter was kidnapped or something, and he gave Conan and Red Sonja, I think, all the jewels and said, you know, have all these things, just return my daughter.
Right.
And just that role, that scene, if you Google that scene or YouTube that scene,
yeah,
you can just see the power of Max von Sydow. And, of course, he was the priest
In The Exorcist.
Exorcist 40 years ago, buddy.
And he was also in Ingmar Bergman's The Seventh Seal. But you know what my favorite role of his is?
What?
As Brewmeister Schmidt in Strange Brew. Babadug McKenzie.
So the hoser.
He was in charge of the beer making.
Oh, Max von Sydow, perfect role. I mean, he will just add so much. You know, he's kind of the Peter Cushing.
He is.
Of this,
he's the Peter Cushing slash what's his name?
Vincent Price.
No, no, but I was gonna say he's the Alec Guinness.
Guinness. He's that old established actor that just
awesome.
You know, amazing. I love Max von Sydow.
Yeah. So, anyways, a bunch of other actors and actresses were also named, but we don't really know who they're gonna be yet. So, some guy named Oscar Isaac and Domhnall Gleeson.
Who's gonna play? Is Vader in this?
So Anakin, see, the problem is this. They announced the main and the supporting roles.
Yeah.
The appearance sort of roles, we're very unsure on. So, Vader, because he'd be like
Hold
that.
Hold on, you say we're very unsure. Is that because are you actually part of this whole scenario? We're very unsure on how we're going to cast this.
Part of an underground faction that's having a lot of lean and pull on top of their decisions that they're making.
Okay,
yeah, absolutely.
Good luck
with
all that.
In grade 8, I had a science teacher. I think it was Mr. Parsons. He was awesome. So, the kids, in grade 8, you're stupid, right?
Lots changed since then.
And then you'd ask them, you'd ask them questions. Oh, any questions? You're doing a space unit, right? So, Mr. Parsons, is there any life in space? And, his answer was, well, we don't know yet. But we're working on it. He's part of the scientific community. Yeah. Grade 8. That's like Mr. Shecky over here. We're not sure yet.
Shecky's part of the Illuminati, apparently. Yeah. He was controlling Star Wars.
Yeah.
No,
he should have been they should have recast guys. They had a chance. Like Vader.
Who should they have recast Vader with?
Yeah.
Perhaps the other guy at the Y?
Arnold.
Arnold.
Yeah.
I am your father.
I'm your Faja.
Look, I am your father.
You know what?
They should have had Clouseau, a French guy as Han Solo. Yes, have a fast ship, just change it up a bit. I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know.
All right, listen.
Anyway.
Listen, this is this is painful.
Yes.
Sorry, did you have something to say there, Shecky?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I've been trying to take in what he's been throwing out.
Yeah, I know.
He's not going too well.
He's throwing a lot of stuff out there.
Yeah.
Listen, let's...
Yes, Lord Vader. I will crush my enemies.
What is best in life?
Yes. I will crush Tatooine.
I think since I insulted his previous impersonations... I think he's trying to make up for it.
I think so.
I will crush Skywalker. Crush him.
He can't do Chewbacca, but man, he can do a good Vader Schwarzenegger.
Right.
It's entertaining.
Listen, let's continue talking about movies. You saw the Avengers movie, right?
Sure did.
Okay. At the very end of the Avengers movie, we saw a cameo of a character called Thanos, who seems to be the puppet master pulling the strings, trying to get Loki to, become the dominant world guy on Earth.
Right.
And so Thanos is going to have a larger role in the next few movies. Apparently Thanos will appear in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, that's cool.
And but they're not saying who it's going to be. So they've cast the person who's going to play Thanos. Apparently it's not going to be the same guy that played Thanos in the first Avengers movie.
Okay, don't bite my head off, but I have a perfect actor for Thanos.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Arnold. We'll crush these Guardians. Who is this Rocket Raccoon? I will crush him. Perfect cast.
Yes.
So they don't have Thanos. Cast.
they do, but they're not saying who it is.
It's Arnold.
Now,
guaranteed.
That would be awesome if it really.
I know. That would be fantastic.
Yes, the Guardians.
Okay. All right. Listen.
All right.
So, anyways,
wait a minute. So Thanos is because remember. What's the company called again?
Marvel?
Marvel, yeah. threw me a curveball because you thought Thanos was going to be in the next Avengers based on that little cameo at the end of Avengers.
Right.
But apparently he's not. He's going to be in the Guardians.
Well, we don't know if he might be in the Avengers. But you never know.
All right.
We don't.
But
we don't
he's
know.
Definitely going to be in the Guardians.
We know that it's.
But the Guardians, from what I'm reading about the Guardians, it's. It's kind of like a one-off Disney Marvel is doing kind of Guardians. It's part of obviously the whole grand scheme, but it's kind of off to the side as of right now.
Yeah,
right?
As of right now, yes. Right. We don't. So. I think it's going to connect somehow because especially with the end of Thor: The Dark World, we saw Sif and Volstagg giving. I believe it was those guys giving the ether, which they're saying was one of the soul gems to the Collector. So we're assuming that the Collector is going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy. Except we know he's going to be in the Guardians of the Galaxy. So no, it's all going to be connected somehow with Thanos. So Dark World, Thor, and all that was all connected. I'm sure there's going to be connections in the Avengers movie. I mean, we know that Avengers: Age of Ultron is clearly going to be about Ultron.
Yeah.
So there's all different types of things. We're not entirely sure about anything.
I got a quick tangent on that. So I'm at the last con. And, you know, I'm like an Overstreet Price Guide advisor. Chris.
Well, yeah,
you know,
you're big time.
I'm the big time guy, one of the go-to guys in Canada. I know my old back issues.
You do.
I know my stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, 5 minutes into the con, I got the guy working with me, Sam. He goes, "Oh, man, Pop sold 2 Avengers 28s in a second." Right? It's like, wow, yeah, that's been sitting there for a while.
Yeah.
Later on the con, I apparently learned that Avengers 28 is the first appearance of the Collector.
Oh.
And now everybody wants the first appearance
of
the Collector because of that cameo thing.
Cameo,
end.
Yeah.
I got to watch the end of those things, Chrissy.
You do. You got to see that stuff.
Right?
You got to pay attention.
And it's amazing those little, what do you call them, Easter bunnies at the end?
Easter bunnies.
Yeah.
Easter eggs.
Yeah. Okay. So Easter eggs at the end, they always add these little characters that are going to, like Thanos was an Easter egg,
right?
That Collector was an Easter egg. Hey, man, you got to go opening night.
Yep.
You got to stay for the Easter egg.
Yep.
And then you got to run back to your shop
and
find that issue.
And triple the price on that.
And triple the price on that dumb thing because, you know, the price is going to go up tenfold.
Exactly.
On the market the next day. It's amazing what that stuff is doing right now.
I agree. All right. Listen, should we have a – I think we need a musical interview.
Yeah.
After all
I think
that.
We probably do.
Yeah. We need a break from Arnold as Darth Vader.
Oh, man. Can you put that voice away? Like, is that in the vault yet? Or what, Walt?
Oh, no, I have it.
Oh, so it's going to keep coming. Oh, that's good, too, I guess. All right. So, little crants in your eye, fellas.
Little crants in your eye. Louis Prima on the horns there.
Yeah, I think that was Buddy Rich on the drums.
Buddy Rich on the drums.
Oh, that was amazing stuff. Krantz, I don't know. I mean, I've said it a million times, and you just can't get enough Krantz.
Yeah, I've got five names featuring the web-slinging jazz talents of Neither of those two names were included in the five names.
They got that wrong.
It was their error. KPM's error. Okay.
Exactly. Right. They don't know what they're talking
about. Hey, listen, remind everybody, we're on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, Hamilton's award-winning radio station.
Yes. Now, listen, we do have another sponsor here.
Absolutely. We always do. And so getting into the further depths of industry news, brought to you by Amazing Spider-Man number 1. Fans, your death threats have been noted, and we have rebooted the series.
Oh, that's excellent.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Listen, they're flying off the shelves, aren't they, guys?
Absolutely.
All around us, arms are coming, zigging and zagging.
It's hard to do the radio show sometimes.
Moms and the babies. We're holding the babies so that the moms can go and grab them.
Earlier, I saw Doc Ock walk out with 8 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, stay on. Oh.
Anyways, listen, we got to keep talking about Marvel movies. So Ant-Man. So really, Ant-Man, you and I just talked about this before.
Ant-Man.
Is really, like, he's really like almost one of the very first Marvel, he's like the first Marvel Silver Age superhero, right?
Second. Yeah.
Okay, well, hold on. So we can't say it's like it's not Human Torch, it's not Submariner, because they're like Golden Age.
Fantastic, right?
No.
Mr. Fantastic and but like, Girl.
Okay, well, hold on. So Ant-Man appeared in Tales to Astonish.
December 61, January 62.
And that came out right after Fantastic Four.
Yeah. Right. But as I've explained before, and I'll explain quickly, is Hank Pym came out that way, and he was the man in the anthill.
Right.
He was a scientist.
Right. That's right. What I'm saying. Okay.
And that was a month after Fantastic Four.
Okay.
And then when Fantastic Four made it big, like a few months later, they revisited Hank Pym, that sci-fi story.
Yeah.
And in 8 issues later, in Tales to Astonish 35, because Hank Pym first appeared in 27. They reintroduced him as Ant-Man with a superhero costume.
Oh, okay, right.
And, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and added him to the superhero lineup. But that initial story that was a month after Fantastic Four.
It was Hank Pym.
It was Hank Pym, scientist, shrunk down to an ant size, wasn't written as a superhero comic.
Did he have the red safari suit?
No.
Oh, that's a shame. Right. All right, listen. Ant-Man has been... You know what's funny is that Ant-Man is a movie that has actually been on the burners in Hollywood for probably close to about a decade now.
How does that happen? First of all, Ant-Man is the best premise for a movie in the history of the world, probably.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The entire world. Absolutely.
Well,
no,
kind of is.
It's
an interesting concept. The guy shrinks down, you know.
Yeah.
Rides
and
ants.
And I can't.
It's a great storyline.
Yeah. So I can't believe that it hasn't gone through.
Okay, well, here's the thing. So
Here's the thing.
Edgar Wright, who...
Burroughs.
No, not the creator of Tarzan.
No.
The Edgar Rice Burroughs.
Right, okay.
Edgar Wright, who is a director. He's the one directing this Ant-Man movie.
Yes.
He also directed Hot Fuzz and
Shaun
of the
I
Dead.
I love you.
Oh, he's the director. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So
what's
he's a. If you weren't, if you're actually,
yeah,
weren't,
well,
you know, pay, we're paying
done.
Attention.
We're
to
done.
You.
We're moving on.
Sorry.
Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead.
Okay. Sorry.
Do you know? You still don't know what I'm talking about?
Keep
do
moving.
You?
Keep
yeah.
moving.
All right.
Move along. Nothing to see here.
Anyway, so Edgar Wright has been wanting to make this movie for a long time. Now, finally, he gets the chance. I mean, it's been in production. It's been in, you know, like legal brouhaha forever.
Yeah.
So now all these Marvel movies are coming out, and they're doing fantastic, and they want to make sure that the Edgar Wright movie kind of, you know, has a good spot within the Marvel Cinematic Universe, even though it's not technically one of the so-called Marvel continuity movies, right? Like, it's not one of the major ones. It's sort of this weird offshoot that is not really meant to be part of the phases. It's kind of like a point one,
right?
Like, it's not really
But then again, you know what? Taking into consideration what we just talked about with Guardians of the Galaxy, it'll be kind of like a standalone, like a separate thing, but they can use it to tie into other things. It doesn't have to be the focal point, but it can be a small bridge.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, there was a big article in Empire Magazine talking about how, you know, did... have they changed the storyline of Ant-Man since now the Marvel movies are big? And he's saying they basically said it's changing a little bit, not a whole lot. They wanted to make sure. The funny thing is, so you were saying, so Hank Pym is the original Ant-Man.
Yeah, Pym.
And there is a modern version of Ant-Man,
mm-hmm.
And his alter ego's name is Scott Lang.
Scott Lang.
So both the Scott Lang and the Hank Pym versions are going to be in the Ant-Man movie,
right?
Played by Paul Rudd is the new hipster kind of guy.
Yeah.
And they've got, what's his name?
He's Clubber Lang, right?
Yes, Clubber Lang. They're going to have Michael Douglas is going to play the old Hank Pym.
Right, Michael Douglas. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. So, anyways, interesting to see that this is going to be going to be part of the Marvel canon now.
I love it. Yeah. I think this is going to be a great movie. I think.
I think so too.
Hark.
Hark!
Who goes
Hark.
There?
Hark!
Hark! Who goes there?
Oh, sorry.
Wasn't Ant-Man originally going to be? Remember, Marvel, Disney had that plan. Okay, we're going to do our blockbusters, but then we're going to do a series of movies at the $20-25 million mark.
Yeah.
I thought that was originally what Ant-Man was going to fit into.
No, but this
and
is
then
like,
that all petered out.
But this, no, I don't think that's petered out. I think that's still going, but this was even before all that.
Before that.
Oh, this
okay.
is like 10 years ago that this movie's been in the process.
What the heck?
So,
all right, well,
I
listen,
think they're still doing those mini
I
movies.
Personally am looking forward to this Ant-Man movie.
Yes, me too.
And the sooner the better.
Okay, listen. Shecky's pointing to me as if he has something to say. Shecky, do you have something to say?
Well, no. You know, we're talking about all this film and everything like that. And I thought I'd take us into the next sponsor.
We got
a few we have to plug.
We have to get paid.
Yeah.
You know, all this Kool-Aid in front of us, somebody has to pay for it.
Very true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, no, only Walt drinks the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
So, this part of industry news brought to you by Star Wars Open Auditions. Still needing to fill roles, we need you. Currently auditioning for Stormtroopers. Lousy blaster aim, an asset.
Oh.
Hey, I got a quick question.
All right.
Remember that guy, the Canadian guy, the kid that was doing everything to try to get into that movie?
You mean Shecky's friend?
Yeah, Shecky's buddy. Remember?
I vaguely know of him.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did he ever get in? Like, the movie now is...
Oh, dear God, no.
No?
No.
Because remember, he had, like, a YouTube thing, and he had a viral... Not a viral thing, but
even Shecky would
know... He might have a viral thing. I don't know.
I can't get rid of this thing, man.
Oh, man.
Go see a doctor.
Dragon balls. Yeah. What do I do?
Yeah.
Show me your cream.
All right, listen. All the cream in the world couldn't have helped Atari back in the day. How'd you like that segue?
Beautiful.
Yeah. Listen, in the early 80s, Atari? Atari,
no.
Come on now. You remember Atari Space Invaders and
Oh, yeah.
Pong and
all
that stuff?
Of course.
You know, the original home console system, right, with cartridges. But I mean, there was a few home console systems before that. There was the Odyssey, the Magnavox Odyssey, and the Odyssey 2.
Wasn't it like ColecoVision or something?
ColecoVision was after Atari.
Was it?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Was it
RegiVision?
What is... Hold on. Let's... Beep, 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 beep. What exactly is RegiVision?
I think Reggie Jackson was selling TV sets.
Oh, God.
In the early 80s. And it's like, yeah, you can get RegiVision.
You know, funny thing, Reggie Jackson, actually, he used to be one of my favorite baseball players.
Yeah.
But he had his own chocolate bar. He had the Reggie bar.
Yeah.
And he was also named Mr. October.
Yes, he was, because he hit lots of home runs in the playoffs.
But there was fans were up in arms because he was going to be put into the Hall of Fame.
Uh-huh.
But he was also, did he not also have the highest number of strikeouts?
Yeah, but you know what?
You know what? That was like Babe Ruth, though.
Yeah,
right?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He was Mr. October. He came through in the clutch.
Okay,
sort
fair enough.
Sort of like,
fair enough.
I don't know, Hank Pym.
John Olerud. There you go.
Yeah.
Listen, this show is not about sports.
No.
So we need to beep.
You can tell that in a hurry, I think.
All right, listen, we got to talk about Atari.
So Atari.
Atari was that game system that came out in the late 70s, early 80s, and they had cartridges. It was one of the first companies that had cartridges for games. Hugely popular. They came out with Pitfall and Space Invaders and all these cool games.
And they had, like, Pong as well. And
Pong,
everything. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, listen, you know, so then in the early 80s, so this is when there's marketing was going on. So now all of a sudden they've got, like, there was like a Superman game at one point.
Oh, yeah.
And there was games based on movies and things like that. Mm-hmm. Well, they decided to come out with an E.T. the Extraterrestrial game.
Right.
Now, you remember that movie? Well,
of course
little,
I did.
Little
yeah.
Alien from Outer Space.
Yep.
And by Steven Spielberg.
Yep. Young Drew Barrymore was in there.
Exactly.
She's like 3 years old or
yep.
something.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. So they made a game based on this E.T. movie. And
how do you make a game on that?
It was terrible.
Is the entire game just based on hiding E.T. in your closet and hoping your mom doesn't find him?
I actually had the game.
Really?
And it was terrible. So basically, you had to take E.T. and like move him through all these different screens to find M&M's. Or not M&M's. What do you call Reese's Peanut Butter things.
Uh-huh. Skittles.
No, it wasn't Skittles.
Doritos?
No, it was...
Monsters.
It was the Reese's Peanut Butter... Reese's... Yeah.
No, he ate Skittles, though.
No, he didn't.
He so ate Skittles.
No, he didn't.
All right, you know what?
I don't remember what he
That's
ate.
That's
it. Google it.
I don't want to.
Yeah, because you know I'm right.
You know what? I'm going to let the fans decide. Fans, post on our forums
which
one of us is more of a numbskull.
I'll vote both.
I'll tell you right now, the story is that Steven Spielberg wanted to have M&M's, and the M&M company didn't want to have their product associated with this alien type thing eating their candy, so he went to Reese's Pieces,
right?
And he got Reese's Pieces to sponsor them. And after that came out in the movie, Reese's Pieces ended up selling millions of products,
right?
Right.
Oh,
so,
wow.
It's not Skittles.
See, I don't think Skittles was even around then. Anyways, they decided to make this video game. It was a terrible video game, and basically, this video game helped to cripple the Atari company because it was so badly done and it was rushed and not put out properly. It was so poorly done that like millions of copies ended up going into a giant landfill, and somewhere like in the Arizona desert kind of thing, they just decided to get rid of them.
Forget about them
and they dumped them. Well, film director Zach Penn decided that he decided to make a documentary, and he wanted to actually go out and see if he could find these millions of copies. Well, sure enough, they actually did find them, and so now there's like all kinds of these buried copies.
How much are they
E.T.
worth now?
You know, you got to think that, like, I think that game, you were saying earlier that they sell, like, one of them, before this find, they were selling for like $10.
Well, here's the thing, though.
Does that mean Atari's going to go and try and claim them now? Yeah. Hey, whoa, guys, whoa, those are
ours.
You know what, though?
You know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen? It's going to be like a signature series type thing. It's going to be where, you know, the regular ones that the schmoes are buying right now are still going to be like $5.
Yeah.
But it's like the landfill edition.
Authenticated
landfill.
Yeah. Construction Pete signature on your thing, $50. Yeah.
It's a documentary. So me and the boys.
You know what's funny?
Got a little Arizona dirt on that one. Yeah.
You know, you joke.
$30.
You joke, but let's say Atari says, hey, those are ours. Let's say that, you know, I'm sure there's not a million copies of
them. I think it was
800,000, I think was the number.
When you throw it in a landfill, you relinquish all rights. If there's one thing I know about the U.S. governments and their policies, taking your garbage to a curb means that you are relinquishing all rights and it becomes public property.
Well, interesting.
Meaning that anyone can rummage through your trash if you take it to the curb.
Oh, well, okay. So hold on. So apparently, according to the game's former Atari manager, James Heller, who was invited to the production dig site, he says that in 1983, the company tasked him with finding an inexpensive way to dispose of 728,000 cartridges.
Oh, that's a lot.
That they had in a warehouse in El Paso, Texas.
All my exes live in Texas.
Oh, so hold on. So this is interesting. So they say that after a few local kids ran into trouble for scavenging, apparently he decided to pour a layer of concrete over the games. So he can get special concrete edition.
Nice.
Signed
and
numbered.
Yeah.
Nice. Wow.
Interesting.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, the funny thing about that is I don't know, you know, that construction crew, not construction, the filming crew, you know, they come and they film it and they find it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's staged or not. Is that part of the whole thing?
You know, it's like, remember when Geraldo was trying to go into
Geraldo Rivera?
Geraldo.
Al Capone's safe.
Al Capone's vault.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing ever happened with that.
Now, you know what the funny part about that is they kept digging. And they found more stuff.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. They found more stuff. They kept digging.
Is that you're talking about the Atari find?
Yeah, the Atari find. They kept. Well, they were there. They just kept digging.
Oh,
they,
what digging. Else? What else did they find?
You know what they found? They found your old pile of Hustlers.
Ah, Sika.
How many pages were stuck together?
Oh.
Yeah,
this is a kid's show.
They found. Oh, they found lots of stuff. They found Jimmy Hoff. For the younger people listening, Google Jimmy Hoffa. What else they find? They found. This was in the. Where is this in New Mexico?
Sure.
Arizona?
I don't know. I don't
know.
Remember now.
This is in the New Mexico.
New Mexico.
Yeah, the New Mexico Chronicle.
Is that where it was?
The big report. They unearthed. They found Carrie Fisher's career.
Oh, yeah. Good thing.
And fitting, right? Yeah, and right away she found.
Is it still alive or no? Or what?
No, obviously so because she got the part. Yeah. They found. Hasbro. They took advantage and they took their Hulk Stratego game.
Oh,
they buried
nice.
And Nike. Nike used that too. They're Bilbo Baggins high tops.
Oh, right.
They didn't sell for some reason.
No.
They put them in there too. So there's more to be unearthed at that landfill.
Yes, you know? Absolutely.
Who knows what they'll find there?
Who knows what you'll find?
Who knows what evil lurks
in the hearts of men? All right, listen, let's. Do we want to have a musical interlude here?
I think we'll do a little musical ditty.
Okay, let's
Why
have
not?
A musical ditty here. What do we got? What do you got cooking for us there, Schexter?
You know what? This one I think may also be something kind of new and fresh. I'm trying to do one of
Maestro
you know?
Fresh Sheck?
Yeah. Maestro Fresh Sheck.
Yo, Maestro Fresh Sheck.
Like yeah, something like that. Well, we'll see how it goes.
Are we the Transformers?
More than meets the eye.
Well, you are more than meets the eye. Yeah.
That's obviously the theme from Rawhide.
Hit him up.
Hit him up. Move
Cut
him
up.
Up. Hit him up. Get him up. Rawhide.
Move him in Rawhide.
I'm not too sure if anybody could actually hear that, but yeah, it's all good. We'll fix it in post-production.
We'll blame your audio handling qualities.
I'm pretty sure you're the one that raised the volume.
I'm the maestro. I just cue it up.
Yeah, okay. Whatever. Yeah.
All right.
Whatever
anyway.
Their maestro fresh check. Mm-hmm.
Hey,
okay. Well,
so
listen,
guys,
before you guys bicker us to death, where else we go? Where are we going now?
So here we go. I have a little bit of a dig of my own.
Oh,
a dig.
Well, you were talking about digging right there in the dirt, in the New Mexico dirt,
mm-hmm.
you know, other than finding Area 51 or whatever you found over there.
Yeah.
I was digging because of this Star Wars auditions nonsense that's been going on here, right?
Yes.
You know what? I happened to go to that Star Wars audition in Detroit. Remember that?
Yeah,
the open
with
casting
the guy
co?
I was asking you about the try to get in.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. Who maybe tried to bribe someone, but it ended up just being like the food cart vendor, so he just took his money and walked away, you know? But So I obviously didn't get a part, you know, and as you guys said, it was Ireland and UK where they actually maybe did the casting calls.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Detroit. Mm-hmm. I think what happened was the producer's cars got jacked, and so she didn't care or want any of it for what we were doing. Anyway.
That happens in Detroit.
Yeah, so when you're in Detroit.
Yeah.
So obviously I'm not in the show, which is fine, right? But what I did was I looked into, and so here's the big thing. The Marvel Cinematic Universe, which owns everything and topples and cripples everything, right?
It does.
And now Star Wars is bought out by Disney, which is another major, you know, corporation.
It is.
I found out for this film, they're trying to crossbreed their different stars and their heroes. And so what they actually had in mind was they auditioned a whole bunch of superheroes for different Star Wars roles.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I never thought of that, but that's mm-hmm. an excellent mm-hmm. way to go.
It's a good strategy to cross promote, right?
Oh.
Obviously they didn't pan out as you see the casting calls now, but so these are some of the crossover characters that they were auditioning for.
Oh, I like to hear
All right.
that, yeah.
All right,
so top five. Number five, Beast as Chewbacca.
Oh, interesting.
They realized Beast has too much of an attitude problem and basically has zero skill sets with firing weapons, as in Chewie's bowcaster.
Right. Uh-huh.
He also refused to dye his hair brown, and so he would have looked more like a character from a Dr. Seuss book. So Star Wars couldn't have that. They couldn't have that.
And
yeah.
he couldn't with do all their, the. He couldn't pull the. Off.
With all their. I think only you can.
Yeah.
Peter Mayhew, move aside. Walter Duralius in the house.
In the house.
Yeah. In the house. Yeah.
Number four, superhero characters crossover. Nick Fury as the film's new Jedi Master. But when reading the script at the auditions, he realized he was a carbon copy of Mace Windu of episodes 1 through 3 and claimed, he ain't having none of that, and stormed out.
Yeah.
Who's Mace Windu?
He was a Jedi Master.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I missed those three.
He was a big, major character.
Samuel L. Jackson. The joke went right over your head.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry. You see, because usually I have to add, right, the idea of the shtick, Shecky, is that I add witty banter, but I have to know what the heck you're talking about.
That's a great point.
Yeah,
that's a great point.
No, you know what? I apologize.
So if I come up with something cool and creative that he doesn't know about, I can avoid anything he has to say?
Kind of.
So I should note that for the future.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, then. That's good.
I'm sorry.
So,
that was funny.
So third, Spider-Man from Spider-Man 3, the original series, as the new young male Jedi Padawan. Assuming the character is built like Anakin was in episodes 2 and 3, Spidey's whiny adolescent mood swings would lend perfectly. Unfortunately, Spidey is currently unavailable as he's recording for his pop boy band, The Slingers, whose target audience is teenage girls with emotional problems.
Yeah.
Wasn't that
your target audience, though?
Yeah. And how's that going for you these days, Chris?
You know what? You got to take what you can get these days.
Got to take what you can get. A lesson we can all live by. Okay, number two, Batman.
Okay.
As the new Jedi villain. The martial arts training, the black suit, the deepened voice, all ultimately pretty much lead him for the running for the role, but they didn't want the integrity of their villain jeopardized by his upcoming pretty boy team-up with Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Batman, you know, being disheartened and losing the role, has since sent Superman several death threats, hoping that will fix the problem, just like as it did with Dan Slott and Spider-Man.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Woo! Yeah, you know what, Batman...
I think there was a joke in there somewhere.
I lost it, but I'm trying to recover.
There's no jokes, just facts. No, just facts.
I'm Jedi.
It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible.
I'm Jedi.
All right,
you know what?
You know what? Let's...
I'm Jedi.
No, Shecky, thank you very much.
There's one left.
I hold in my hand the last envelope.
Yeah, here it is. Yeah, a rose for you, Chris. Here it is.
Uh-huh, okay.
Number one, Stan Lee... as Han Solo's estranged father, Hobo Solo. Only a brief scene cameo, Stan runs into Han as he's chased out of an alley by palace guards. After giving them a slip, Han passes him and says, without knowing it to be his father, Chewie, what a scruffy-looking nerf herder.
Cheep, 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 cheep.
Come on!
Chewie! Yeah. Excelsior!
Excelsior!
He's, he's paying back
the... What the hell is a Chewbacca anyway?
What the heck is a Chewbacca anyway?
I don't get it.
Is that it? Are we done?
Please say we're done.
You know what? I told you this was a fact-finding mission, not a for-your-enjoyment mission.
You got that right.
What do you want from me?
Listen, let's talk...
Comedy!
Let's get back to the comics. Speaking of comedy.
Yeah.
We got to talk very quickly.
I need some Kool-Aid.
You know what? It's
hold
already.
On. Hold on, Chris. Hold on.
We only got a few minutes left. One thing we absolutely have to talk about is Free Comic Book Day coming up this weekend.
Oh, my God, Mr. Owen.
Yes, that's me.
Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah.
This coming Saturday.
Yeah.
First Saturday in May always is Free Comic Book Day.
Yes.
At your local comic book shop. And obviously we're on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, but we're on, 12, 15 different websites.
At least.
Yeah. And our idea here on this show is to champion the local comic book shop. And the most important day in the calendar of your local comic book shop is Free Comic Book Day.
Yes.
The first Saturday in May.
That's right.
This is the day your local comic book shop goes all out. They come out of hibernation, long winter. They clean up your store. They
are the elves that do that?
Yeah. Well, I don't know who does it. But they bring in thousands upon thousands of free comics to give away that day.
Nice.
They'll have
it's kind of like Christmas in May.
Yeah, they'll have special signings at their store. They'll have free barbecues at their store. They'll have every shop does something different. But it's a beautiful day for the community to go out and visit their local.
Well, you know what I'm going to do? In that case, now that you piqued my interest when you said barbecue, free barbecue, I'm going to hop from. I'm going to do like a pub crawl, but I'm gonna comic shop crawl.
That would be beautiful.
Just to get the barbecue at every single location.
You know, while I'm on.
Get your free wiener at every.
I'm going to get 6 free wieners, Chris. I'm going to keep hopping and jumping around.
If one thing Shecky loves.
It's a good wiener.
It's free wieners.
Yeah.
So here's a chance for me to jump on my soapbox and take what Shecky has said and run with it.
About wieners?
No. you know what would be a great thing? And local comic book shops, if they in towns and cities and villages across the world.
Villages. Your local comic book shop at the village.
Yeah.
Ye old village comic shoppy.
Excuse me, ma'am. do you know where the local comic book shop is? Oh, what do you say? Oh, yes.
You want bread?
Yes. Down the road there. Yes, yes. but it would be great if local comic book shops get together in their communities and do something inclusive together. Like
yes.
Maybe you have like a passport where if you visit each local comic book
shop. That is
a
great idea.
You know what I mean?
That's a great idea.
You stamp it. And if you visited all, I don't know, 5 comic book shops in your community,
yeah.
And you got a stamp from each one. And of course, this would take the participation of all 5 comic book shops.
Yeah.
But if we all got together and did that, and patrons and comic book fans went to all 5 shops and got their stamp, and then because they got all, then they can go back to each shop and maybe, you know, I don't know, pick up something for free or something like that.
I like that idea.
Because it's not about buying something that day. People, if you're listening, you don't have to. It's not about buying something that day at your local shop. It's about just visiting your local comic book shop and enjoying the vibe of free comic
book. I think that's
–
you know what? You've had a few – maybe 2 good ideas as long as I've known you.
No.
And you've just raised it to 3. I think that is a brilliant idea.
Well, I must be ahead of 3.
Yeah.
Cheers to you, Shecky.
Ahead of 3. Well, you know what? You've had at least 2 good ideas.
Just keep talking.
Just
keep talking.
Anyways, I think that's a brilliant idea.
Thank you.
And I think obviously it's too late to start something this year, but I think you need to spearhead that.
I will.
With your local comic book dealers.
In the Hamilton area, where we are. Yeah.
But you know what? I highly... recommend that all the dealers all over North America get together with their competitors.
Chris, all over the world right now.
Yep.
Free Comic Book Day is a worldwide phenomenon right now. And, you know, it's an exciting day. And Chris and I will not stand.
We won't stand.
For you, the comic culture listener, not going to Free Comic Book Day.
No, I think it's a great idea. You know, I've always loved Free Comic Book Day. I always show up, and I don't always get a chance to spend a lot of time at the store, but I always show up to see what the buzz and all that kind of stuff. Now, I don't want to plug your store too much, but what's happening at your store? Like, are you going to have – I know you said you're having a barbecue or something like that, possibly?
Yeah, we're having a barbecue in Hamilton, and I don't know what we're having in Niagara and Barrie. They don't talk to me much.
No, but like, are you having? Didn't you say you're having artists come in?
Yeah, there's artists coming in as well. I'm not here to plug our shop, but but every shop will have that. We'll all be doing something special.
Yeah, I'm just trying to give the audience an idea.
So maybe a barbecue. Odds are local artists coming in.
Maybe
to sign.
People will be dressed up.
Yeah, like cosplayers. We're actually having cosplayers coming.
Nice.
We're having famous cosplayers coming in.
You mean more famous than the Superman who comes in every year?
Never.
Faithfully?
No, he is. He's number one.
Yeah.
Yeah, he better be, guys.
So it's going to be a great day.
Nice.
And wherever you're listening, if you're listening in Timbuktu,
Cucamonga.
Or, you know, parts unknown.
Seattle.
Seattle. Visit your local comic book shop and enjoy that day.
I like it. All right, listen, you know what? We have run out of time, unfortunately. So you look you're looking at me like, what?
How?
We've run out of time.
Seems like we just started.
I know.
Well,
it's
we
a great
just
show.
Begun.
Oh, you know, we didn't get to mailbag. We'll have to do it next time.
All right.
We have Keith.
Ah, Peanuts. Keith.
Yo, Keith.
Because, anyways.
Keith.
Keith, we will address your question next week.
There was so much coming down the line. The feed. The news feed was hot this week.
Keith had a question.
Yeah.
I think somebody else had written to me. Next week, for sure.
We're going to focus on the people next week. You know what? We're going to address Keith next week. And I encourage everyone else out there, all 3.5 people out there who listen to us regularly, to also mail in some sort of mailbag. Maybe we can make next week like a big mailbag-heavy week.
That's a good idea.
We can get feedback on what they think of the Amazing Spider-Man number 1. We can get their feedback
on
the free comic book day. Maybe if they see Amazing Spider-Man number 2 in theaters. All that stuff. It'd be great.
I like it.
All right, listen, we got to end this. So Comic Culture is produced by Shecky Feldstein, a.k.a. Anthony Falcone. No.
Well, that's okay. It's only been a year and a half. Or
we'll just Marty Berth Elmer.
That's a shout out to you, my pal Anthony Falcone. Yeah.
I got an email from Anthony today. He's in Chicago for C2E2.
Oh, nice.
Anyway, Marty Berth Elmer produced the show beautifully as always. For comments and suggestions, visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link and add your comments in the comments field. And we're on 93.3 CFMU, comicbookdaily.com, and getthepointradio.com.
All right, listen. Go out and support your local comic book retailers and have yourself a great day. And hopefully we'll see you at Free Comic Book Day this Saturday.
Have a great week.